You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
You are listening to episode 172 of the IT in the D Show. We have a great show lined up today. Segment two, we are joined by our good old friend, Kasten Thomas from Innerworks Technology, talking all things mobile security and then some. Segment three, we also have our old friend, Patrick Ruggiero here from the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan. They will be doing a fundraiser coming up pretty soon, and we got lots of fun stuff coming up. Happy Thanksgiving. Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those right?
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Magumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
Someone tries. What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big.
How big?
It's way too big.
I can get it all the way in.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
But it's delicious.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy.
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you for listening. As always, this is the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live from Studio One here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy. I finally get to be a sales guy again. We will talk about that later. Hanging out with...
always a sales guy, Bob.
Hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Do us a favor. Subscribe to the show, whether you're on SoundCloud or iTunes. We would greatly appreciate it. Shout out to Randy and Ian. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can, twitter.com/itinthed
/ asterisk
Unicode
character.
We have an awesome guest lineup this show. Segment two, we are joined by one of our good friends, Kasten Thomas. He always brings some awesome knowledge in the mobile security world. Looking forward to those conversations from Interworks Technology. Segment three, Patrick Ruggiero here from the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan was yes. here. He said that's what his dad said it, so I tried to pronounce it proper. He's chairman of the National Kidney Foundation. He was with us last year. They have a fundraiser coming up. We definitely like to talk about what they're doing. We're here. We're live.
Did you hear it's cold outside?
No.
It's cold outside.
I heard it snowed while I was gone. Is that right?
Oh, it totally did.
Oh, my God. Was it a big snow or just a little bit of snow?
The U of M game was epic.
Wow. It was like a snow globe.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, yell at your wife to come here, you got to see this. That's how much yeah. snow there was.
Enough to freak out everyone on social media.
Totally,
right?
Yeah. And everyone forgot how to drive and, you know.
Well, you know, it's the meme I've been posting for the past 3 years, you know, not sure if snow or, you know, alien parasites that only eat the part of your brain that remembers how to drive.
It's the same. It's the same memes every year. It's the Michigan on Friday, snowy or sunny Michigan on Saturday, and Jack Nicholson in The Shining. You know, it's.
Well, it was. I mean, my sinuses are very aware of the temperature difference. It went from like 72 on Friday to like 27.
And then here come
Saturday.
The Han and Luke on the Tauntaun. Going to Meijer, anything.
That showed up in my memory.
All the water gone at Meijer.
Yeah, exactly.
And gotta get milk.
Gotta get the bread and milk. Gotta get the bread and milk. Because that guy,
So MSU. MSU, bad.
Done
week,
messed up.
Apparently. Well, yeah.
They didn't, but.
Yeah, apparently somebody made their way into one of their databases. And at the time of the report, they knew that 460 some odd had for sure been touched. But there are 400,000 people in this database, you know, their names, their social security numbers, everything about them. So basically it was, if you've worked at MSU since 1970 on, or if you went to MSU from 1991 on, you're in that database that is potentially all out in the wild.
This sounds like damage control. It's kind of weird. So how do they know that only 449 accounts?
See, and that's the thing that every time one of these hacks happens or one of these breaches happens is, oh, well, you know, only how do you know?
So they had a database of 400,000.
Because I'm sure what the rationale is. OK, so we have some sort of we can tell from an audit when a record gets touched. OK, well, you were supposed to have security protocols in place that would keep those unauthorized touches from happening. So if that doesn't work, why are you trusting your audit trail?
And if it's a database, you can't tell if a record's been touched, right? You do a select query, right? So you select all users. Basically, that says select top 449 star from
right.
all users. That's all they did, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally. I'm sure they didn't just do a select star. Yeah.
But Dave, they set up a special website and a phone number.
They did, and emails galore because it got shared and reshared a whole bunch of times from our Facebook page.
Well, that's what I love about our Facebook page. We always joke about, you know, hey, free jobs, nothing. Han and Luke on Hoth meme.
80,000 right. shares.
This was the one that useful
actually
info
valuable
got.
Information yeah, exactly. actually got out there.
Good job, Internet. Good job.
Right, no kidding. Free jobs. Don't care. Got hacked at MSU. Oh my God, we're gonna die.
Yeah, not a good thing. The other big local news, just to throw it out there, apparently the Pistons are having a press conference tomorrow to announce they're moving downtown.
Everyone's shocked. Never saw that coming. Right out of the blue. It's craziness. It's just mass hysteria. What? Never, you know. Well, the thing was, didn't L. Brooks was trying to, they tried, hey, Brooks. Want to buy the palace?
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
Not without the team. No.
Right.
You wanted more for the palace than you paid for the palace and the team.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, Auburn Hills is going to suffer. I'm like, as a resident, I didn't care it was an exit north of me. I would rather go downtown anyway because have you ever gone to the palace for a game?
Or anything.
There's nothing there.
Dude, I don't care if it's the circus. I don't care if it's Disney on Ice. I don't care what the hell you go there
Even
for.
If it's Taylor Swift, you're not going to go?
No, I will shake it off.
Can we do a 2-for-1 with the Silver Dome?
Exactly. Oh,
just getting out of there is a nightmare. That's the biggest pain in the ass is getting out of the palace.
You have to go to Lapeer all the way down to University, then hop on 75, and 75 is closed. And that exit's
closed. And then you got to do the Michigan left, and then you got to do that.
But there's nothing there to do. If there was a thing, if downtown Auburn Hills was right next door, you could bar hop afterwards or go shopping.
There's Cicerelli's.
And that's for sale. Go shocker.
There's the mall, right? There's the
That's like two exits north. But there's
Bar still, Louis, right?
Yeah. I'm not gonna go out of my way to go to Bar Louis for crying out loud.
But they have such great hashtags.
But they already announced they're going to mow it down and put something up.
People are already lining up to demolish the palace and take over that land.
Right, as the Silverdome sits and rots still.
Can they, like, expand the garbage dump right there? Just going to pull it back over?
We call it Mount Auburn Hills, us locals.
I thought that was Bald Mountain. For the longest time, it's a non-Michigan mountain. I'm like, is that Bald Mountain? No. Like, it kind of is.
It's Mount Auburn Hills.
Oh, jeez.
The seagulls should have tipped you off that it's not a ski resort.
So I think our favorite story of the week collectively, Samsung, God love them. You know, I have a Samsung TV in the house. Not this one. So there is a 105-inch 4K 3D LED TV out on Amazon.com for the low, low price of $119,999.
Temporarily out of stock.
Temporarily
on Amazon
out of stock,
right now.
Which means they probably pulled it. After
it's curved.
Curved. Sorry, I forgot curved.
For her pleasure.
For her, yeah, exactly. after some of the reviews started pouring in.
So, I mean, this is the Amazon. We talk about this probably every 3 months or so where something happens where Amazon reviewers are
funnier than anyone we know.
They should write sitcoms.
Yes.
I wish, like, if you go to, like, some of the famous ones, if you're not, I'm sure you're familiar, but
banana slicer,
right, the three wolf head
t-shirt,
milk.
Yeah.
But this is hysterical. Like, the black levels and color of this TV are pretty good for the price. However, the small screen size is a deal breaker. I recommend buying an IMAX theater instead.
I was able to purchase this TV with an FHA loan, 30-year fixed rate, and only 3.5% down. Plus, the box is so big and roomy, I have to live there now, basically.
I loved it. You know, it seems pricey, but with the free shipping, it was totally affordable for, you know, you Amazon Prime members. Yeah.
It's also great as a second monitor.
Anthony's my favorite. Our family bought this to connect to our Atari Model 2600. And let me just say, the quality of the pixels is stunning. Pong looks the best so far. My wife said, "What's that big square going across the screen?" "It's the ball, honey," I said. "It's the ball."
So, yeah, each pixel is a foot by a foot.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So yeah,
bought it for my niece for her birthday. She ended up just playing with the box. Oh well, kids. Like,
I couldn't purchase this TV because it wouldn't fit in the Amazon cart.
So another one of our favorite topics. We always love talking about Snapchat. We always love talking about hyper over evaluations. Snapchat is apparently getting ready for an IPO in March, and their valuation is set at somewhere between 20 and 25 billion
with a B.
Hang on.
Dollars.
Can I get a moment here? Eat my ass. Like, seriously.
So they've never turned a profit, right?
They've never have done it. What do they do?
They allow people to send me boobs. Yes.
That magically vanish. So what's point?
Yeah, but they don't. Because we've talked about that for a year.
It's their privacy policy. They're holding on to those pictures now, right? Or they can?
Oh, they always have.
Oh, my God.
They just finally admitted it like a year ago.
So can we edit that out so that people continue to send me boobs? Because this would be a thing. It's like, no, ladies, Bob did not just say that. Dave did not just say that. I'm sorry. Not happening.
But we talked about that with Grubhub being valued at like $4 billion. It's like they don't make the Chinese food that gets delivered to me. And how are they worth more than the Chinese food people that make the food?
But they turn a profit though, right? Because they're taking a cut off of every order. So they have something and a service. It's a service, right?
Yeah, but they don't hire anyone. They don't own anything. They don't.
They're Fuber.
Does Uber? Right.
They're Fuber.
They own the food. Yeah. And then the food shows up and it's cold because I used Grubhub this weekend.
Because it takes 50 minutes to get there.
It took an hour.
The restaurant's around the corner.
Yeah, I know. Totally. I did not want to leave the house.
Because it was snowing.
No, I just didn't feel like leaving. The socks were upstairs. I didn't have socks on it. I'm like, there's no way I'm going upstairs to get socks. So I'm calling Grubhub. And then the food's cold.
That's a really crazy idea.
Like 20 billion. Like, I don't get. Like, can someone just math me, please, on the things?
Yeah.
On this,
I got
someone.
I mean, the one thing that we have talked about before is, I mean, when they do the stories and that kind of stuff, you know, the Snowmageddon thing last year had more viewers than like the Olympics and Monday Night Football and, like, I mean, all the things. So, I mean, they have eyeballs. You know, the question is does that convert to ad revenue and ad sales and all
actually,
that stuff?
Actually, a little bit. They said that they're expecting up to $1 billion in profit in 2017, but 2016 was about $350 million. So they have, what, 175 million daily active users?
Oof.
That's a lot. But, I mean, think about the amount of profit per active user. It's right. Nothing compared to, like, Facebook's.
It becomes – We follow this stuff since we're old enough to follow this stuff since the inception. Right. And these things, they cometh and they goeth.
MySpace, Zanga, LiveJournal.
Oh my God, Zanga, that used to be a thing. Yeah.
Vine, right? Yeah. You said Vine, yeah.
Vine, right.
That's around about 7 seconds.
Someone always buys them and they destroy them. Or they find out that, like Twitter, they don't make any money. And when does it finally go away? You can't get propped up by VC for so long before it just becomes a joke.
Well, and speak on that front. So Twitter, everybody's assuming that they are positioning themselves for sale because they have finally taken the step of updating their abuse policy and their terms of service. You know, one of the things about Twitter has always been, you know, it's easy to be the anonymous troll and, you know, all that, you know, somebody comes out and says something and gets slammed on. So apparently they had two potential buyers one of which was like Bank of America or somebody who walked away, both of which walked away because
they mathed.
Well, no, actually they were okay with the math. It was because of the problems with abuse and the reputation that Twitter was getting, and they didn't really want to be associated with that. So now that Twitter's taken this step and they've basically made it easier to report accounts, easier to block accounts, easier to, like, you know, take all these steps online and make it easier for people, the general consensus is the reason why they finally went ahead and took those steps is because they want to get bought this year.
It wasn't because Trump got elected?
Right. He was going to outsource Twitter to Mexico when nobody was really outsourcing to Mexico. Yeah.
Well, they're banning users now. Mm-hmm. Like, just like it's getting like when it, like, again, do you want it open or do you want it closed? Like, who defines what's a troll and what's someone that's genuinely just stupid?
Who defines what a fake news site
is? Did you guys see that this week? Where there was a team from from Champaign, Urbana in Illinois who created an algorithm that could basically say if a news story was fake or not in like a weekend hackathon. And it was like ridiculously accurate to like 85 or 90%.
Ugh.
Yeah, crazy, right?
But then the fact of the matter is, I don't think people care. Like, you heard that, like, there was an article that came out and it was clickbait too, but it said like millennials are making insane amount of money on fake news sites. And it was, again, it's all about that, you know, number 7 will shock you. When is that ever going to stop? And then you have to forward through 13 pictures. Like, how are those still things? Again, we always complain about it, but obviously people must be clicking on it. Because they want to see number 7.
And they're sharing it.
What does Honey Boo Boo's mom look like now? Number 7 will...
I don't understand why. Like, as soon as I click a link, and like if that first thing I see is a next button, I'm out. Like, I hit that X up in the top left before it even finishes loading.
Or the ad blocker, I'm out too.
Right.
Like, I'm not even going to screw with this. I'm not going to disable my ad blocker. I'm out.
Yeah. I ain't nobody got time for that. But, you know, we lightly touched on Trump.
Well, the IoT hacks have been hysterical this week. The smart bulbs.
Well, in your house, it's your 3-year-old.
Right.
That hacks everything.
No, I get the text periodically to fill you in. I get the text periodically from a wife going, the Nest is at 90 degrees. Can you please change it on your phone? And like, what happened? Did I get hacked? And no. All of a sudden, I see the little gremlin, the 3-year-old gremlin, going up the stairs, stopping halfway, hitting the Nest, turning up to 90, and then running up the stairs, giggling. And I'm like, that's why. So
if the 3-year-old has figured out how to turn it up, the wife hasn't figured out how to turn it down.
No, she's like, it's almost like those old days. Remember when I told you, when I worked at Vario and there was like 9 type A sales guys in a bullpen the size of the studio.
Right.
And some guy would start playing like Nelly Hot in here, hot in. And all of a sudden you sit there typing away or you're on a sales call. Like, God, I'm sweating. What the? What? And you hear the one guy going, hee, hee, hee. Because the thermostat would be on like 102. Like, it happened once every 3 weeks just because you can't, you know.
Once everybody forgot about the last time.
Right, right. You have to get up every 10 seconds to check the thermostat. But the this is so stupid, but the you can hack in your smart bulbs and cause a blackout. Like, who's outfitting their entire home besides you, Charles, a friend of mine, that spending $70 on smart bulbs for their entire house? Like, for crying, you want to put five in your basement so you can have like blue pink light during a party? That's one thing. But are you really telling me you're outfitting your whole house in smart bulbs?
What about, I mean, cities, right? So if basically right now the Philips Hue is too expensive to do it.
Right.
But say if you put smart bulbs in like the streetlights. And the really cool thing is that the hackers could basically shut them down from 435 yards away. That's 4 football fields of distance of lights that they can kill with a simple hack. It's crazy.
They just spent so much money converting those to LEDs. They're not going to smart any. Probably in the next. I mean, hell, Detroit.
The city just got off Windows ME.
Right. No, the city has a press release when they install a light bulb for granted, let alone if they're going to smart bulbs. And again, it's like, when, like, the switch was just too difficult for me. I need to be able to sit on my couch and turn my lights on with an app.
The clapper.
Well, it's even worse. I mean,
I got those weird. That's what I call it at my house. I don't know why I got it, because it's stupid, because it talks to Alexa, the Amazon Echo. But I got the stupid Wemo plugs. So, and it's a modern day clapper. So you can go, Alexa, turn on living room lights. And they turn on. The whole house goes.
Have you seen the Echo commercial? Which I think is.
It always turns on my stupid Echo.
It's absolutely. It's supposed to, Bob.
It pisses me off.
So no, there's a great commercial out where it's a teenage girl. She's in her bedroom crying. The dad is outside the door and like she won't let him in to talk. And so he turns and he says, you know, Alexa, play that Broken Wings song. And it's so so it starts playing Broken Wings by Mr. And so she opens the door and, you know, he goes in and he starts consoling her and comforting her. And then all of a sudden you hear this voice from outside the house and you look out and it's the boyfriend that has just dumped the girl. And so the dad turns, Alexa, turn on the sprinklers.
Right.
And hits the kid with the sprinklers. Dad's like, got him.
My 12-year-old realized the voice control. So you can say Simon Says.
Yeah.
So when we're downstairs, she thinks it's funny to, you know, say poop words on the – so we're like – we're sitting there and I'm like, it was funny the first – like I got to teach my kid comedy. Like it's funny the first time I giggled. Second time, not funny. Third time, no. 18th time, like I'm going to kill you. Like
– Speaking of smart devices and hacks, you guys see the camera?
That's what I was just going to go to.
It's one of the coolest things. So there's a $55 camera on Amazon.com that's wireless. Pan, tilt, outdoor vision, stuff like that. Joined your network, things like that. So some security researchers were able to basically put one on the internet and wall it off so that it was not on his home network and basically sniff the packets. And in 98 seconds, a worm found it, logged into it, downloaded its code, and tried to keep spreading itself. And this was basically the botnet that was responsible for the Dyn outage a couple weeks ago. So 98 seconds. And basically all it takes is to change the default password, but –
Nobody does.
Or it's not easy to, or things like that. So absolutely crazy to watch this thing in action.
A minute and a half is all it took to get it compromised and back.
See about all those like cheap goods coming out of China. They're like knockoffs of larger manufacturer ones. Are they thinking about security? Are they putting good passwords?
Well, no. I mean, it's all of the, what was it, like 18 different models of Android phones coming out of China that all came pre-installed with a rootkit on them.
Awesome.
Amazing.
We're going to pick one of those up at.
Yeah, exactly. Best Buy, apparently.
Oh, cool.
The great thing was the security researchers that found it found that 2 out of the 3 domains that were hardwired into this thing to basically phone home to weren't even registered and active. Right. So the security company registered the domains to keep them from being used for anything malicious.
Also a really good way to get statistics too, right? You're like, oh, I've got 100,000 hits to my website.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Speaking of phones, did you guys see that Apple has finally admitted that the touch disease on the iPhone 6S is real?
So for the
touch to get the disease.
Yeah, exactly.
It was made in Mexico, Bob.
Ah, ew.
Bad hombres.
So for the non-eye users, touch disease.
So touch disease is basically a thing where your phone stops responding to multi-touches. So you touch it and nothing happens. The screens flicker and do weird things. And apparently it impacts hundreds of thousands of devices. And if you had this problem and you took it to Apple, Apple's like, that's not a real problem. That's not our fault. And people would basically have to pay to get it fixed.
It's not themselves. Like my wife with her big fingernails jamming on the and breaking like the whatever touch glass is behind there
It's actually inside the phone itself. It's a soldered contact on the back of the capacitors that control the touch. And so Apple's finally admitted that it could be a problem, probably using language like that.
Right.
And they'll fix it for a nice $149. saying that it's actually the user's fault, and it's because they dropped their phone so many times that the solder has fallen off the back of the phones.
Eesh.
Yeah, no. $149 to fix the manufacturing defect.
Imagine, though, you made a product that an entire industry of retail shops across the nation, thousands of them, have sprouted up just to fix your product that is so easily broken. Think about that for a minute. How many iPhone repair places?
iFixit. There's one down the street called iFixit. Yeah.
Google it. I mean, when Gretchen broke her crap, I had to Google. There's like 15 within six square miles.
There's probably six on Grosbeck between my house and 696. Right. This one kind of has me skeeved out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. So the UK, the Good Touch, I guess Good Touch, Bad Touch joke, they're trying to keep kids away from porn.
Pretty noble thing, right?
Understandable.
Because apparently 10% of youths 12 and 13 are addicted to pornography, according to the UK.
What?
10%. Yeah, that's a statistic.
I think addicted is a very harsh term.
What's addicted?
Define sexual relations.
No, define addicted, because I'm going to be like, oh, shit.
So but they want to be able to ban sites that don't implement what they call robust age checking.
My age from the drop down, right?
No.
I was born in 1900. January 1st, 1900.
They want to bounce the information that you provide up against the electoral register.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeesh.
I think what's either going to happen is you're going to see
all of it hosted in Ireland.
No, everybody's going. No, hey, I'm Bob Waltonspiel. Here's my address. Here's my birth date. I want access to that site. 87,000 people were logging in as Bob Waltonspiel.
Oh yeah, that too.
Or John Smith at 123 Any Street. Right. We're not really screwed up because they could create a database of everyone who accesses it.
Uh huh.
What are they gonna do though with stuff that's hosted like out, not in England?
It's the same thing that what was it like? YouPorn and a bunch of other sites were blocking anybody in California because of what is it? Proposition 60,
the condom legislation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so they were basically anybody for a couple days. It was anybody that was coming in from California was getting hit with a pop up, and then they just started blocking people from California. So it's a DNS entry. You just basically at your router you just say block that site and you're done.
And you know what? Nero, you broke my heart earlier.
Really?
I'm sorry. That the public was invited to name the baby pandas at the Atlanta Zoo.
Which sounds like a really good opportunity for some tomfoolery.
Bodie McBoatface?
Yeah. No, it would be Panda McPanda Face and Harambe would be the two pandas.
Right.
The two babies. But the Atlanta,
didn't vote.
But Atlanta Zoo trolled the trolls. They only let you choose between seven names.
See, which is what the boat folks did ultimately down the road. But yeah, no, so smart. They've learned from the internet.
Panda McPanda Face is so much better than whatever names that I'm just going to throw that out for the record.
Yeah.
Nobody wants what's she?
Juju. I mean, they're like really traditional Chinese names.
Right.
Can we do one more story? This is one.
Absolutely.
This is an important one. There was a Office Depot stores.
Yes.
So if you have a computer problem at home and you take it in, you usually expect Best Buy, Office Depot to be like straight with you, right? Tell you what's wrong with it. So one of the news stations in Seattle.
Do you really?
Well, no, they're going to steal your porn.
Right. They all have thumb drives. They're all –
Right. So a news station.
Look in the taxes folder. That's where the good stuff is.
Or in System 32. Yeah. That's where So a station in Seattle took 12 new computers to Office Depot. 12 computers, took them in, and let them scan it. And the first thing they do when they walk in is run this malware scan. And so out of those 12 computers – they took six. Four of the six were flagged as having malware on them. But the problem was these were brand new, freshly installed, freshly patched systems that had never been on the internet before. Basically, these things are guaranteed to be good.
Well, maybe they bought them from Best Buy along with
the Android phones. Yeah.
Oh.
And so basically the employees were trying to sell malware eradication packages starting at $200 a piece to these brand new never touch computers. And apparently it's a corporate policy, one of the employees said, that they had to run this scanner on every single workstation that came in the building and that they were incentivized for selling these additional services.
Sales targets, man.
Didn't they learn from Wells Fargo?
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently Office Depot has responded and have stopped using this basic bullshit scanner.
And do me a favor. If you bought a computer at Office Depot, please hit stop right now. Don't ever listen to our show again.
What if I'm a large corporation that bought many from there?
But nobody buys computers from Office Depot. I don't even know why they got them for sale.
You should call Tom at Lawrence Tech.
Yes, exactly. And your local call Lawrence Tech.
It's like buying electronics at Walgreens. Why do you even have them?
And then just to wrap things up, I think the funniest story of the week comes to us from Paris. God bless the French.
Oh, you Parisians. You crazy kids.
They thought they were going to be all festive. And they didn't want it. They didn't want to kill a tree, so they put up an inflatable Christmas tree.
That's pretty green.
It is very green. The downside is it looks like a giant butt plug,
like unmistakably like butt plug. Kermit's. Kermit's butt plug. Yeah,
it's.
Well, maybe it's for Kermit for the float and the Thanksgiving parade in New York. And that's after it, and Kermit's got that look on his face like, oh, get me out of here! And
but that's none of my business, and though.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite quote in that article is someone said, frankly, it's more appropriate to have a giant butt plug in the middle of Paris than to have a Christmas tree up in October.
Oh.
Mic drop.
Oh, it went up in October. Let me eat that's the best meme. Let me eat the goddamn turkey first. Like, you know, just for crying out loud. It's
yeah, remember when Thanksgiving had its own decorations? Remember when it was on holiday? Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Cass and Thomas from Interworks Technologies. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 172. This is the IT in the D show broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in the Golden Towers of the One Story Building in Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Do us a favor, mark your calendars. December 10th is going to come up quickly. 8th. What's the 10th?
That was last
year. Our Christmas party. That's why it's stuck in my head. December 8th, we're going to be at Falling Down Brewery for our annual
beer company.
Falling Down. We're going to be at Falling Down on 10 and DeQuinter for our annual Elf on a Shelf. We're going to do a toy drive for kids. We do it every year. We did it for the military early on, but now we're taking care of kids in need.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, all the kids that, you know, the Operation Kid Equip, you know, you see all the things every year about kids needing school supplies and that kind of stuff to be prepared. Go figure. Some of those kids have the same challenges when it comes to the holiday season, and their families do. It's basically all about making sure that kids right here in the area have a good holiday, and that's a cool, cool thing.
And by far, it's Menachem runs, or Michael runs, the best charity in Detroit. He's, you know, living, walking.
It's as bare bones as it gets.
Yeah. That all goes back to kids and families. Like, that guy, he's selfless in every way, shape, and form. So, yeah. Come on out. We'd love to see you.
And Dennis reached out. Apparently, he's got hundreds and hundreds of Matchbox cars sitting around.
Is awesome.
Yeah. So Dennis will be out there again. So, hey, before we get rolling, though, with Kasten, this episode is brought to you by Indeed Prime. So, Indeed Prime is a premium talent platform that matches elite tech talent to top companies. Indeed Prime helps software engineers simplify their job search and land their dream job. See, Bob, if only it applied to sales guys, you'd have been rolling.
No, you can. I did it earlier. I signed up.
But it's for software engineers.
Oh.
Not sales guys.
That's why.
Candidates get immediate exposure to the best tech companies with just one simple application. And when you're hired, dude, this kind of blows my mind. When you're hired, Indeed Prime gives you $2,000 bonus to say thanks for using Prime. But wait, there's more. If you use our link, you get a $5,000 bonus. So just by going to our URL, okay, you people out there that are looking for a gig or might want to look for a gig, or hey, maybe you're just looking for $5,000. This is how you're going to do that. You're going to go and sign up now at indeed.com/IT. So Indeed Prime is 100% free for candidates. So it's not like you're paying $100 to go apply, hoping for a $5,000. No, it's 100% free for candidates and helps hiring managers discover available, high quality talent. So again, learn more and get that $5,000 bonus at indeed.com/IT.
And you can get a down payment on that Samsung TV. But hey, we are lucky enough to be joined by the one and only Casson Thomas, the founder and the chief, all the things.
Chief Bottle Washer
at Innerworks right. Technology. Appreciate you coming out and hanging out with us.
Oh, glad to be here. It's just a lot of fun.
So
love
we
the new studios, guys. This
thank
is
you.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah, we're having a good time. So we always knew you and always talked to you about like stuff going on in mobile and IoT security. Mm-hmm. And apparently, like, you have done a lot of changing, not so much in terms of security, but in terms of, I guess, your width of what you're doing. So
well,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we always wind up talking to him about the technology and the industry and not really his company,
right.
Which you have.
Yeah, we do need to pay the bills. Right
yeah.
So, I mean, and then, you know, as it turns out, you've had a lot of stuff changing and going on. So talk to us a little bit. What's up?
You know, as we were going after mobile security, the Internet of Things popped up and a lot of other really exciting things because really what mobility is any device, any person, anywhere, any time in the world, and then securing it is because, you know, you got 6.5 billion hackers potentially out there wanting your stuff. So we did a lot of introspection about a year and a half ago, and we ask ourselves what really sets us apart, and we found three things. Number one, we're insanely curious, we're always looking for a better way, something new, and we've been very successful and have a great track record of finding that latest greatest technology that solves problems, and we wanted to qualify that, quantify it, and build a process around that. But that really led to that curiosity. We also seem to have a good ability to connect the dots, to see connections between people or technologies or processes that others can't. And then just that bit of pernicious little always looking for a different way to do something. You know, you've got Airbnb and you've got Uber. And really what we're looking at with information security is the black hats, the bad guys, want to disrupt things. So we said, why don't we turn it on them and find ways to disrupt the disruptors? And so that leads us into technologies around the Internet of Things, collaborative security tools, and machine learning, which is really where a lot of the venture capital is going now. So that's where we're spending our time. And then when we define what's the problem, you know, there are really two problems that the chief information security officers struggle with. Number one is the constant, they can't find enough information security brain cells out there. There's a serious shortage, and the people they do have are constantly, you know, on the ledge ready to jump somewhere
getting
else.
Recruited away. Yeah.
So, and then the other problem they have is just finding the hacks, you know, like the MSU things we were talking about earlier today. The statistics tell us back in 2012, the average hacker was inside a network unfound, looking around, doing their thing for on average over 400 days before they were found.
More than a year.
So that number's been coming down, so we are making progress. It was down to about 128 days last year, according to the Mandiant report, and that's very easily found to see what they showed. And then some of the progress that we've been making as white hats, you know, we're down to about 100 days inside the network. But it's another 50 to 100 days before we're able to fix the problems.
But that's so scary. Think about like if somebody broke into your house and there's like 3.5 months, they're just walking around looking for things, right? That's a really good analogy. I mean, they're going to find where you hide your wife's jewelry. They're going to find where you keep your weed. I mean, they're going to know everything about.
They may find where you keep your weed, but I'm
all my guns, they find – oh, my goodness.
This show brought to you by Denver, Colorado. Right? Yes.
Well, see, the first thing a hacker does is when they penetrate into the network – they just sit and watch, you know, and the really, really bad hacks, it takes a patient hacker to sit and just learn and see what they can find. You know, they map out the network. They find out where the real family jewels are before they pounce.
Well, we saw there was a – when I forget if I was at Hewlett-Packard or when I was at Dell. there was a sheet that basically had the bounty numbers for Russian hackers on getting credit card numbers, bank account numbers, getting into like backdoor IP addresses, things like that, where like credit card numbers were like $25-$50, bank account numbers were maybe like $150, like, you know, I think health records were like $500-$600, something like that.
Yep.
But I mean, that's just Russian hackers, let alone what's going on in the rest of the world.
Well, what's going on is the hackers have learned to collaborate. I mean, you can now with
they have conventions for crying out loud in Vegas
this week, actually. Black Hat's coming out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, you can get a DDoS attack with on the dark web with a couple of bitcoins or fractions of a bitcoin.
It's like $25 or something really goofy to command like a very large botnet, right? It's $25.
Yeah. Or you can go
I want to get a botnet.
$25. I'll tumble your bitcoins for you.
Oh, I'm so buying.
But now ransomware as a service has popped up. And so a person can go onto the dark web, subscribe their attacked person or the organization they want to hack, give information about that organization, write their own phishing emails and submit it, and then they reap the benefits of the ransomware. So there's
I live in such a weird world now.
Totally.
An episode of Black Mirror just waiting to happen, right?
Well, just
absolutely.
And if I said it once, I've said it a million times. Like back in the old days, you know, you had to actually know what you were doing, you know, to get in, and it was, you know, that difference between a hacker and a cracker. You know, a hacker was like, you know, going in to explore and find stuff, and would usually fix things or leave a text file somewhere. And then you had the rise of the script kiddie and the cracker that, you know, basically downloaded tools off the internet that they had no idea how they worked, except they knew how to push the next button, and could go ahead and, you know, flood a network, or, you know, Satan got out in the wild and, you know, you'd analyze the hell out of anything with, you know, the click of three buttons. It's nuts now that, like, now, you know, you don't.
It's not nuts. It's very sane from the standpoint of follow the money. You know, there's big money in it, and they're finding ways to commoditize it and to distribute it so that it's easy to use. Some of the greatest advances in ransomware in the last few months, it's been figured out, is the ease of use of being able to pay.
Yeah.
I heard there's like an ATM machine in Brooklyn or something like that you can convert money to bitcoins. And that people come there all the time looking to be able to buy bitcoins to pay ransomware.
There was a guy. Jeez. There was a great one of the Black Market Dispatch. In fact, the Black Market Dispatch episode on Vice about the dark web. It was in New York, and there's a guy there. It was a guy, but apparently there are a bunch of them that just hang out on street corners. You walk up, you give them cash. They like do the transaction right on their phone in front of you. They take a cut. Boom! Here's your Bitcoin.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and a caution to everyone listening, if you don't understand Onion and Tor and all the implications of that, don't mess around on the dark web. I mean, I warn you.
Unless you're looking for really good drugs.
So what are you at – though, to parlay this into what you at InnerWorks are doing, what are you doing, A, as a security consultant, B, implementing tools to kind of thwart all this garbage?
Oh, great question. Yeah, we looked at the landscape, and we see that – the CIOs and CISOs of organizations are spending 80% of their budget on what we call the legacy security systems. And, you know, there's plenty of people out there doing that. There's HP, CDW, Optiv, you know, a lot of really good integrators out there doing those legacy systems.
So define a legacy security system.
Oh, those would be the stuff from Cisco, Microsoft, Checkpoint, McAfee, Symantec, all the names you've heard of. But where the really exciting thing is, and the problem is, you know, 80% of the budget's going there, but 80% of the problems are in that other 20%. So we said, let's go out and find those game-changing systems that are going to fill those gaps and solve the problems that are happening, because, you know, those legacy providers and integrators aren't going to come to a CIO and say, hey, we found something great that'll do the function that we've been doing for one-tenth the cost or one-tenth the number of people. So we're coming at it, and we have a process by which we're going out and identifying those first-round, second-round, third-round venture capital companies, engaging with them and bringing those to the CIO's and CISO's attention. I mean, they've got a problem. They can go out to RSA or they can go out to one of the Vegas conventions for the White Hats, and it's still somewhat random depending on which technology they find by going down a particular aisle. But if they skip the aisle, they might have missed the thing that they really need. So in February, we're going to be rolling out an advisory service to sit with a select number of CIOs and CISOs and give them a read based on what their installed base is and the kinds of problems that they see themselves facing. We can guide them because we built a database of almost 3,000 information security companies, and we're tracking on criteria that we have those next game changers. You know,
interesting.
We were one of the first integrators in the Midwest to sign up with FireEye. Last year, we took them off our website because essentially we've institutionalized. Look, Squirrel. So, right. So and it's a transition with me as the leader of InterWorks. I have finally successfully transitioned from geeky to chicky. So.
Isn't that a character in Don't Be a Menace or Friday? Well, that was Dashiki.
That was Dashiki.
I thought I might have to change that. so really, we have a number of organizations who've said, you know, we'd like for you to be our Skunk Works. We'd like to, you know, we don't have the time to assign people to go look for that next thing.
Yeah, they're probably busy enough trying to keep their networks alive still.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. It comes back to
that. Or their businesses for that matter.
Right.
So if we can help fill that void of being the R&D to find that next great game changer, we think we can have a great impact with our customers going in every 6 months and providing that advisory service. First round's going to be no charge because we've got to vet it.
Because the first hit's free, kid.
Right.
Second page, you better have 20 G's.
Try the crack. Taste the crack.
It's really a way to build into a relationship that as we implement these same systems, it'll be like, you know, that's the hook. Because it's really about how do we sustain the ongoing technologies, because we don't want to go in, do something and walk away because there's not quality, there's not a level of trust that gets built from that. So in doing this on an ongoing basis, we're hoping to have that sustainable relationship so people go, you know what, they've got this thing down.
Trusted
and
advisor.
There's real value. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So if I was a CSO or a CIO, what's hot right now? What should I be looking at?
Oh, goodness. Just in the machine learning, there's five or six companies that are taking different tracks for finding anomalies on the network. And people are always asking, well, why is machine learning so suited for information security? And it's really because
– how is it not?
Well, you know, everybody's looking for the silver bullet. And we always get the promise.
Been.
Yeah. And – you know, we're going to find that next great thing that's going to solve all our problems. It's not going to happen. So explaining why machine learning is really, for me, puts us on a level playing field with the black hats is because machine learning does one thing very, very well. It finds patterns and finds exceptions to patterns. Well, when you have a flow of information or a flow of packets, finding those anomalies is very easy when you have a purpose-specific device sitting on the network or sitting in that application looking for things that, you know, this thing's not like the others.
That's kind of like if Bob logs in every day at 8 o'clock and logs off at 5 o'clock and only visits ESPN.com and Salesforce.com, and all of a sudden it's 3 in the morning and Bob's accessing something.cn, right? We know that there's probably something going on, right?
And you know what? You just one of the products that we're just walking into and really fascinated with is a product called Preempt. And Preempt sits on the network, but it sits between the domain controllers and the directory services. So if it sees someone saying, you know, Bob's doing CNN and maybe every once in a while checks his email, but all of a sudden, Bob performs an NMAP scan or goes to the HR system and starts downloading files, this system can say, Bob, better check to make sure that's Bob.
That wait, Bob's actually doing work? That doesn't seem like Bob.
That's really cool.
Send that man a gift certificate. So, you know, they're working very closely with a Michigan company called Duo.
Love those guys.
So, DuoSec, yeah.
So, you know, Duo's fascinated because this can say, we better check this person out, force a two-factor authentication to that identity so that we can make sure that it's them actually performing that function.
So cool.
Well, and that's, isn't it cool?
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's the whole thing with machine learning. I mean, so yeah, either you've got computers and technology that can sit there and do that in real time, or you're hoping Jim, looking through the snort logs, you know, a couple days later, happens to notice that it was 8 p.m. and not 8 a.m. that somebody was logged in.
Yep. Or it may show up on a Splunk report somewhere. Yeah. And, right. Yeah.
Well, we've gone through a progression of an identity where a person, as you said, leaves at 5 o'clock. And then we notice that from 5 o'clock to 5:30, they're accessing email from AT&T mobile service. And then about 45 minutes later, they're typically logging on, and we know the distance to their home. So the fastest way to get there is about 30 minutes, but in 15 minutes, that identity has been logged on from another location.
Well, inside the corporate network, right? So you tie in the FISEC, and basically we know he scanned out at this time, and why is he accessing his computer or whatever right at 3 in the morning? Yeah,
and,
totally.
And, you know, there's another technology from a company called Bastille. They're the ones who found the mouse jack hack that I think we talked about a while back. They have an Internet of Things sensor that will correlate the RF fingerprint, because if you have a Fitbit, an Android, and an iPad, you have 14 RF signatures that you're floating around.
You are kidding me.
So they can correlate that.
Like a fingerprint.
Absolutely.
Oh.
So
I'm turning off my cell phone right now. God damn it.
That can solve problems like tailgating into a secure area.
That's right. Bastille?
Yeah. Oh, Bastille.io.
Interesting.
And we've got a couple of companies who are looking at that, very fascinated, because this will find a rogue cell tower that pops up and then starts intercepting everybody's text messages and phone calls.
And what are they calling those damn stingrays?
The Corvettes?
That the cops have. That the cops have.
Oh.
That intercept all the cell traffic.
SCMADs?
Yeah. SCMADs.
And that's fascinating because we were talking – well, we're working with one – well-known corporation who wants to implement that for their board meeting, because a competitor could very easily pop up a stingray right across the street, pop the signal in, and all the cell phones are going to talk to that one rather than anything else. Now all the information coming out, voice, data, text, is unencrypted.
Which blew my mind, Keston. Seriously.
Crazy.
That's why they pay you the big bucks. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Always a pleasure. We can find you, Keston Thomas, on LinkedIn, or we can go to iWorksTech.com.
You got it.
And
well, so who ought to be reaching out to you for this service?
You know, anybody in a large organization who is struggling with information security challenges.
Which is pretty much all large corporations.
That would be all the things, yeah.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Thanks. No, it's a T-ball. It's like, doot.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. It's been great.
Thank you, Keston. Appreciate it. Hey, we'll be up in segment 3 with Patrick from the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan. And this is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 172 of the IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This, Bob the Sales Guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG.
Hey.
Find us online, itinthed.com. Mark your calendars, December the 8th, Falling Down Beer Company on 10 Mile in DeQuinder in Warren, Michigan.
Well, and Mark is going to join us December 5th on that episode of our show. We'll get to hear all about what they got going on out in Oxford, how their expansion's going.
Will he bring beer?
You have
beers there here
he
now.
He always does.
But hey, we are joined by
Yeah, before we get started, imagine you have house guests coming, but only one bedroom. What if you could order an extra bedroom for your guests that you could remove after they leave? Well, that's the idea behind Lenovo's next-generation data centers built for cloud computing. You see, the cloud is all about giving your company the ability to expand and contract server space on demand without actually adding more hardware. Lenovo understands that on-demand access can give your company a tremendous competitive advantage. Think about it. The faster you can scale up, the faster your dev team can test new applications. And that means you can get new product features into the market faster. But that kind of flexibility is worthless if your servers are down. Lenovo servers are number one in reliability and performance because you don't have time for downtime. Feeling handcuffed by proprietary hardware-software relationships? Lenovo systems allow you to partner with leading software providers to ensure your cloud solution is best in class. Lenovo systems can even integrate with legacy software platforms to help get your cloud solution up and running quickly. Learn more about how Lenovo is transforming the data center at www.lenovo.com/datacenter. Thanks, Lenovo, for your support.
Easier. You can close your eyes and like you can envision watching a cool
bedtime
commercial.
Stories as well. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want you to read us bedtime.
No, I was thinking like have a bedroom for guests. Now you sleep on the couch like the rest of us, cretins. Not add nothing for you. But hey, we are joined by none other than Patrick Ruggiero. Did I do that right?
You're like Jimmy Smits on Saturday Night Live.
I'm trying to do the
burritos.
Burrito, yeah. From the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan, Patrick, appreciate having you back.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what's new and exciting for the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan? You guys are putting on another fundraiser.
Well, yeah. So,
and I hear you're killing it.
For those who aren't familiar, we had you on last year, and unfortunately, we actually wound up having you booked like the Monday after your event took place. So this time, we've got you coming in before your event takes place to help get the word out about it. It's December 3rd?
Correct. December 3rd, it's a Saturday, and it's the 12th annual Kidney Ball, which is our signature event, black tie event. And we're looking to probably sell it out, hopefully, at about 800 to 850 people. We had about 820 there last year and looking to raise about another 600,000. Over the last 12 years, we've raised about 6 million, or that's the goal. With the 600,000 this year, we'll hit about it's real possible, and I think it's going to happen to hit $6 million. So we're on
our way.
That's
insane.
Yeah.
So Patrick, what kind of
– now I remember why we didn't have – because, man, he always makes me feel like – because we're all excited about our December 8th event.
Yeah, we raised like $2,000.
Yeah, we're going to have we raised like $2,000 and some toys. And he comes along, $6 million.
That was over 12 years. So you'll get there.
Oh, it's only $2 million a year. Or $500,000 a year.
So what kind of work is the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan doing? I mean, what kind of – ailments are you supporting people with?
Well, what it does is it does a whole host of things. As you know, kidney disease affects about 900,000 people in Michigan alone. It's humongous. I mean, a lot of people don't even know they have kidney disease, you know, with diabetes on the rise, obesity on the rise.
As I sit here opening my fourth Mountain Dew. And
as I'm sitting here munching on some pizza, right? Yeah.
Yes.
As I'm sitting here fat.
Well, all those things can contribute to kidney disease. And so the programs that are in place with the Kidney Foundation try to address it through education. And a lot of the programs starting with young people like Reggie's Rainbow, and they've got the kidney camp for the kids, you know, teaching kids from a young age how to eat right, you know, eat your vegetables, reduce sugar intake, don't drink Mountain Dew, try to take it easy on that pizza over there and everything
lay
else.
Lay off the Pabst Talls.
So there's quite a few great programs out there for people to minimize the risk of having diabetes or kidney disease. High blood pressure, and also once they have it, there are programs to keep it under control and even possibly reverse it because, you know, with diet and exercise, a lot of things can be accomplished without the use of drugs.
Because, I mean, I always get this wrong. Is it type 2 that you can get rid of with diet and exercise, yes?
You can reduce it, correct.
Yeah.
And possibly even get rid of it type 2. Yeah, type 1 I believe is more genetically based. So I think once you have it, I'm not positive. But now with all the advancements they're making, it's just amazing what they're doing in the research area when it comes to kidney disease. So it is – and this event is going towards, you know, all the money. And the beauty of our – organization is we were just ranked four star by Charity Navigator, which is the ninth year in a row, which is a phenomenal ranking for a charity. And like the rankings are based on how much of the money goes when we raise. Like say we raised the 600, like last year was 652,000 we raised. Over 90% of the money goes to the cause, which is, you know, huge. I mean,
it's unheard of.
It's unheard of. It really is. You hear these charities and it's unfortunate. Some of them give charitable and philanthropic work a bad
NFL.
You know.
Sorry. Susan Coleman.
But I mean, to contrast that, the American Red Cross, which is a very well-known and respected organization, only gets 3 stars on Charity Navigator.
That's right. That's why it's an amazing organization. And again, that's the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan. There's chapters all over the country. Ours is one of the best. And so it's a lot to be proud of, and it's great when you go to these sponsors, which we have some great sponsors from Lear Corporation, good friend Matt Simoncini there, that it's just phenomenal. General Motors and Cadillac, Myers, Madison Glass, Our Media. I mean, they're all just phenomenal sponsors. Miller Coors, Mars, Morley, top-notch sponsors. It's not that it's easy, but it's easier when you can talk about what a quality organization it is and the rate and the ranking it gets with Charity Navigator, which in the industry is the gold standard, right?
Yeah.
And to have 4 stars for 9 years running is phenomenal from a charity standpoint. As you just read, I mean, some of the most well-known ones that we hear about don't come close to it, and people donate millions to those. So, and again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing because they do good work too, but close to 90% of the proceeds going to the cause, to the programs, as opposed to getting eaten up in administrative costs and, you know, private jets and other things that you've heard about. That doesn't happen with the National Kidney Foundation.
So, it's a black tie event, so yes. Which probably means we're not going to be there. But
I'll rent you a tux.
But so, what kind of an event? Like what goes on at these at this event that makes it such a fundraising kind of thing?
Alcohol.
Well, you laugh, but that too.
Alcohol.
Yeah. Speaking of sponsors.
Well, that alcohol is available, and it sure helps loosen up the mood, especially for the great auction.
And the checkbooks.
And the checkbooks. And that's a really big part of the event. You know, we've got over 250 unique items on the silent auction. I mean, our auction is one of the biggest in the city, and it's a spectacular auction. I mean, we raised about – I don't know. I chaired the auction committee about 2 years ago, and we hit almost 150,000 just in auction items alone.
Yeesh.
And this year we've got – about 12 live auction items, including a villa in Italy, actually 2 villas in Italy, some wonderful trips. I mean, just
100 bucks.
Yeah, 100 bucks. Well, last year I think we did 3 of them for around 8,000 a piece, which was pretty good. I mean, so we got
and the live auctions are always at the end of the night when the alcohol is soaked in.
We try to have it a little bit into the night where people, you know, or hopefully indulge a little bit and feel a little bit more comfortable, let's say.
Giving, yes,
and open their wallets. So it's and this year we're doing something really unique. We started mobile bidding. So anybody that signs up can get it on their smartphone, tablet, and you can actually start bidding on items in the silent auction, and you can watch where you're bidding. So you don't even have to actually be at the event.
So you don't even get dirty looks from the guy from across the room. Like, you're not – 12 grand. The guy's like, you son of a bitch. Like, there's like, there's none of that going on.
Yeah. So it's going to be, you know, it's a little different because obviously it's not the pen and paper that you're used to in an auction. Now, the live auction's still live. You still got the auctioneer, which we're bringing in a guy, Chris from California.
Oh, we should have hooked them up with,
I forget her name too.
We do.
Yeah.
She actually just won. In fact, we learned about her through CKC. She won the world's best auctioneer. And was fun. We had her like do a call live on the air with us, and it was amazing. Well, and she's here locally.
Well, I got to get her name. We
can absolutely do that.
Beth Rose.
Yeah.
Beth Rose. Well, BethRoseAuctions.com.
Yeah.
Oh, it all comes back now. Uh-huh.
Beth Rose. Okay. Let me not.
Well, your kidney may be functioning, but your mind still works.
Yeah.
It's the kidney ball event where just don't worry about your liver for the night. Just
at least a little bit. But we do have a great auctioneer. He's a phenomenal auctioneer, and he's able to get the crowd engaged and, you know, pull out the money and on these auction items. So it's a phenomenal. It's really, really cool to witness and to see and to be part of it. Excites you even if you're not able to bid on some of the bigger items to be part of it.
Oh, it's still fun to watch.
Oh, it's real fun to watch, especially if it's done right. And so we hope it'll be done right again because, like I said, we want to hit that that big mark of 6 million. And we're on our way. We're on a good track. And we probably most likely will sell out the event this year. But, you know, anybody that's interested in coming, you can go online to nkfm.org, National Kidney Foundation, Michigan, nkfm.org, to purchase tickets. They're $250 per ticket. Or obviously there's sponsorships available for tables and whatnot.
I don't know, guys. What do you think? I got a couple grand into a villa in Italy. Take the misses, you know what I mean?
Or don't.
Right.
Bob, are you in? Let me see the mice.
If I'm going to Italy, I'm going to Germany. So you guys can have fun in Italy.
Well, you could take a short flight over to Germany and spend a day there.
Yeah, exactly. Or train, yeah.
Or train, right.
So, like, what kind of items do you typically have in the silent auction? I mean, that's always a great kind of fundraiser event. Like what can people expect to see there
on the silent? We've got like I said, there's over 250. There's tons of children's toys, and so we have a large Myers is a big sponsor, so they really hook us up with a lot of toys for kids. And we have a toys room just for auction items for kids, and my kids destroy me when they go there because I bring my young little 9-year-old Isabella and my little 7-year-old Patizio, my little Irishman born on St. Patty's Day.
That's where that 10% goes to, isn't it?
And so they you know, the worst thing I do is give them my bid number because they fill out all the different little bid, you know, sheets. Well, they did. Now it's going to be on the now they're going to be grabbing my phone to do it on the mobile bidding, but it's a phenomenal kit. So you can do a lot of your Christmas shopping by bidding on the silent auction items. And they range from everything, you know, I mean, kids, as you can imagine, every kind of item you can think of. And the adult ones are, you know, wine packages, tours in Napa. We've got a lot of jewelry from some of the great jewelry stores around here, Metals and Times, and right here in Royal Oak. As a matter of fact, is one of our sponsors and donated, but some great stuff available at the auction.
So, and apparently, like it's not just. I mean, it's a $250 ticket, but it has like. I mean, there's a cocktail hour, there's a dinner, there's. I mean, it's
entertainment.
Yeah, it's not just, hey, here's $250 so I can come spend more money on bidding on stuff.
Actually, absolutely, and $250 is really a deal. If you break it down, you take, you know, the wife out or significant other, and you go out to a nice dinner, and you have cocktails, and I mean, it's complete open bar, and some great wines and everything included, and appetizers, and a beautiful dinner.
Iridescence, right? That's the
that's
restaurant?
From Iridescence. Oh, correct. My God.
I've eaten Iridescence several.
It's a great
times,
place.
Yeah, which by the
dinner.
Way, that's one of the live auction items is a wine dinner up in Iridescence in the private wine room up there. I think it's for $8,
which is Whoa. An incredible display of bottles too. If you've never
unbelievable,
seen it,
unbelievable, yeah. Beautiful dinner. Last year it was caviar. I mean, he rolls out the red carpet, and it's a great auction item among many other things. So. How well the Illiches treated us when we decided to move the event to Motor City. They've been great sponsors and partners with us for the Kidney Ball. And we are actually having, after the dinner, after this great dinner and auction and a lot of good drinking, healthy drinking, and we're going over to Soundboard, which is across the hall or connected there, and
sure.
We've got 50-amp fuse as our entertainment.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to be the band, which are, you know, phenomenal live entertainment. And so you get a lot of people dancing. If you had a chance to come to it, there's great energy in the room. It's just everybody. It's good. It's a great event.
That's very, very cool.
So I've been monkeying around a little bit, finding out some stuff that I have in my inventory, and we want to make a donation to the at least to the bidding or to the open floor.
I appreciate that.
I hopefully, if this thing works out right now, I'll have my hands on a brick from the original Wrigley Field. With a Steiner certificate with a little nice little case.
Wow, thank
so,
you.
Yeah, Cubs won the world, you know. But
nobody in Detroit wants that.
I know.
you'd be surprised. You know, we've got people that come in from Chicago and companies.
I'm looking for a Gordie Howe jersey. If we can pull that off, then we'll do that too.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And the Kidney Foundation of Michigan appreciates that.
Yeah, we're all about helping.
Exactly.
And drinking.
They don't want like Ric Flair autographed belts. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out something.
So it's December 3rd, and it's down at Motor City Casino and Hotel. And it's nkfm.org.
nkfm.org.
Correct. For tickets and all the information that's out there. That's awesome. And I'd be remiss if we didn't mention that you have a life and a business outside of this. Tell us a little bit about your restaurants.
We do. Our family operates and owns the Roman Village family of restaurants, which include Antonio's, Cucina Italiana, and Farmington Hills, Canton, Livonia, and Dearborn Heights. And the original mother store is the Roman Village Cucina Italiana down in the south end of Dearborn, bordering southwest Detroit there, and on Dixon Verner. And we've been there 52 years. My mom's still there most days of the week making the homemade pasta and the gnocchis, and everything there is homemade, but she's still there right in the middle of it all. And it's actually her home in Italy that her grandfather built after coming back from World War I that is being auctioned off. Jeez. During the live auction. So it's a really cool, yike, beautiful place that's completely modernized. She's had it all. We go there every year with the family. So she's decided, and she just started doing this because it's like her private home still. And so she
has – Somebody told her about Airbnb?
Yeah.
And it only gets $8,000?
I know it's for 1 week, and you know it's a great deal, and it's a phenomenal place to be. We're in central Italy, about 2 hours north of Rome, 30 minutes outside of Florence and Umbria, right at the heart of Italy. And like I said, it's been in the family for over 100 years now, and it's a really cool place. And then to add to it this year, for another auction item, Mama Rita, my mom, is auctioning herself off in a very nice way. Mom, don't give me a smack here.
Context.
You're on the wrong show.
She is auctioning herself as a cook and a chef to come to your home to have a wine dinner for you and seven people at your house.
Oh, my
she's
God. She's
going to prepare all the food and do it all. My mom comes from Italy, and she was born and raised there, and she came here in 1963, and she was a cook along with her aunt, Norina, who used to cook for the prince and princess of Tuscany. And that's how my mom learned how to cook, from her aunt, who used to cook for these royalty that used to be the land barons of Italy and in our region of Italy.
I'd be embarrassed to have her in my kitchen.
You know what I love about the Italian culture versus the German culture? We're neighbors, but like, oh, I'm going to have my mom over, make you a nice Italian dinner. And you're like, oh my God, it sounds great. Like, I'm going to have my dad over, make you schnitzel and spätzle. And you're like, oh.
My mom's a phenomenal cook, and she, this is one of the first times she's going to be doing this, and she's really passionate about the Kidney Foundation. She loves the work they're doing, and so I talked to her, and she's like, yeah, I'll do it, for the cause. So we actually did it for our own family foundation. We have the Ruggiero Promise Foundation, which we just did an event 2 weeks ago, which this is like, going from the frying pan into the fire,
because right.
We went from the Casino Royale event that we do in honor of my father, who died passed 8 years ago of diabetes. And so we have this event in honor of him to support diabetes research at the Brehm Center at the University of Michigan. So we had that 2 weeks ago. And so we actually auctioned my mom. That's where it first came out. So now we're taking it over to the Kidney Foundation to do it there.
That's also amazing. It's a hell of a commitment.
Yeah, it is. And so she's passionate about cooking, and she cooks even when she's home. I mean, that's all she loves to do, cooking. So, but it'll be a great event on December 3rd, Saturday, at Motor City Casino Hotel. Starts at 6 o'clock. National Kidney Foundation of Michigan, nkfm.org. And you can get tickets. I'd love to have you there.
All right, 5 minutes left. How's this for one up in my Wrigley Field brick? Okay. It's a Henry Hill signed Goodfellas poster. I think that's going to do well. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're working on a couple things.
I got the basement collection I should take a look at.
You'll never go down there.
That's true.
So are you guys going to come or what?
I might. That's actually not a bad date night.
On the 3rd, I got nothing. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a great event. You guys will have a blast. And you'll get, again, the $250, believe it or not, I mean, it's not a moneymaker, that part of it. The funds we make are from the big sponsors, yeah, right? The $20,000, $25,000, $50,000 sponsors, which is great. Everybody else comes and hopefully buys auction items, and it's a wonderful evening.
I go broke at those things, man.
Yeah, especially if
don't
you
we all?
Have a little bit of these.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Those in Comic Cons.
I ended up with a trunk full of every one of these I go to.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You're not beating me on that auction item.
Yeah, because that's when the ego kicks in.
I get all competitive. Yeah.
Yeah, take away your cell phone. I'm like, here, just go back to Clash of Clans.
Right.
Clash of Clans.
Which even if you have a few too many, we have a rate at the hotel for the Kidney Foundation if you want to reserve a room, which is also another.
I should probably do that anyway. Yeah.
No kidding.
Now you gotta bring like a cell inhibitor with you.
And watch
everybody get angry.
Lock everybody else. They could come right to Dupa. It's not like they're only using their phones.
Yeah, well, there's going to be
bidding systems.
It's not cell only.
We're going to block a lot of
channels. let's not promote any of that.
Yeah. But Patrick, appreciate spending time with us. Appreciate the gift cards for the restaurant with lasagna is the best I've ever had.
Mama Rita's homemade recipe.
Yeah, it's nuts. It might have talked me into gnocchi this time. Maybe I'll have both.
Do the gnocchis with the Mama Rita sauce, which is like bacon, mushroom, kind of palomino type sauce.
You had him at bacon, you lost him at mushroom.
No, for that, I might even eat the mushrooms for that.
I don't eat mushrooms either. Yeah. I just do without mushrooms, and it's a phenomenal sauce.
Oh my God.
Gnocchis. You can't go wrong.
NKFM.org. The event's coming up December the 3rd. Look forward to possibly seeing you, and I'll let you know about donating a couple of those items. Hopefully make some money.
Really appreciate that. Thank you for giving me the time here, and thank you. If you attend, I hope. I mean, that'd be great, you guys. Be great.
Let me see what's going on. Yeah. I like the idea.
Good deal. We'll appreciate it. Hey, we're going to wrap things up for episode 172 of the IT and the D Show.
And one last time, Kasten, we find you out at?
iWorksTech.com or Kasten Thomas on LinkedIn.
Very cool.
Appreciate our show sponsors tonight, Indeed and Lenovo. Yeah,
don't forget that $5,000 nice little kickback. It's Indeed.com/IT.
That's nuts.
I like it.
Kasten, appreciate your time. Patrick, appreciate the time coming out. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Be safe on the day before Thanksgiving and enjoy your turkey day with your family. And enjoy the shopping craziness. I'm going to be on the couch on Amazon. Kiss my ass. This is the IT and the D Show. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, on the cheese.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city.
I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.